Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Devotees of the online conspiracy theory QAnon are reckoning with the inauguration of President Biden, an event that their digital prophet, known as Q, had said would never happen. Q followers falsely believed the ceremony was a front for the military, acting on the orders of former President Trump to round up supposed members of the deep state. Ben Collins has been following this for NBC News. And Ben, can you explain this a little more deeply? What exactly did followers of QAnon think was going to happen at the swearing in of Joe Biden?
Yeah, until the very last second, until he took the oath of office, QAnon believers thought that this was basically an elaborate setup, that Joe Biden would be rounded up, so would Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all these people who they viewed to be part of the deep state, that they would be turned on by the military, they would be rounded up and then executed on live television. They really did believe this. And a lot of people were looking forward to it. And then, you know, it didn't come. It sounds disgusting that they would think like a mass execution would be a big present to them. But that's what they really believed.
So clearly it didn't come. How do they square that with their worldview? I mean, are they disillusioned?
Yeah, they had a really hard time. They felt betrayed in real time. You know, I was watching these forums and these private chats on Telegram where QAnon supporters had met for months, and they had, you know, they had moved back their doomsday five or six times over the last few years. But this was their last hurrah. And they really did think, since everybody was going to be in one place, that they would all be rounded up. They had talked themselves into this shared delusion together. So when it became noon, Joe Biden was the president, it was very hard for them to square this. And, you know, some of them just dumped off entirely. They said, you know, we got duped, we got had. And others, you know, they tried to look for answers in ridiculous places. They tried to find, you know, maybe he was sworn in before noon, so he's not really the president. There's a shadow presidency or something. But that group of people is getting smaller and smaller. They are getting more radicalized, but they're getting smaller and smaller.
Well, in fact, there are some people who will never have enough evidence to give up on the conspiracy theories. What do we know about them? Are they doubling down? What are they saying?
Yeah, so there are like two kinds of deniers at this point. There are deniers who are going that mystic route, who just firmly will never believe that Joe Biden is the president. And then there's the scarier part. You know, there are people who are disillusioned by this but don't want to give it up. You know, QAnon supporters, they're not going to go and like suddenly have a good media diet after this. They're not going to go home and, you know, pore over all actual factual information. And white supremacists and neo-Nazi groups know this. You know, in fact, there have been specific guides on the internet that said, look, this is a good recruitment time for us. These QAnon supporters are disillusioned just like we were disillusioned. They like Donald Trump just like we kind of like Donald Trump. We use him as a means to an end. We can go and bring those people in right now. We can recruit them. That's where it gets dangerous.
That is concerning. One of the largest QAnon groups on Telegram closed comments after the inauguration to let everyone, as they said, take a breather. And Ron Watkins, the former administrator for the message board 8kun, posted a note to his many, many followers telling them that they needed to, quote, go back to our lives as best we are able. What do these messages mean for the future of Q?
It won't go away in any traditional sense. Maybe they'll stop believing that there is a government insider named Q who has access to information. Clearly, this guy has failed them over and over again. I'm sure some people will move past that. But there's too much money to be made in this grift. And frankly, there's too much identity wrapped up in it. It helps them cope with stuff. You know, people will find a new way to grift off this and make money off it. You know, sell T-shirts, sell books, get donations. But it may not just be called QAnon anymore. That's what we saw with Dominion, the Dominion voting systems conspiracy theory. That was pushed by QAnon conspiracy theorists first, and then it became sort of mainstream in the Republican Party. You'll see those network factions that were built up over the last 4 years through QAnon be deployed for other conspiracy theories.
So I'm sure there are people listening to you talk thinking this sounds absolutely ridiculous, but the fact is that QAnon has done all of these things and has in fact inspired real-world violence. I mean, there were slogans and paraphernalia at the Capitol insurrection. At least two recently sworn-in members of Congress have expressed support for QAnon. How do you think we got to this point?
There are several reasons. First of all, the prior administration, the Trump administration, kind of benefited from the existence of it. That's why Donald Trump would not denounce it. it was a really powerful tool for hatred of his enemies. That is not the case anymore. The government does not benefit from QAnon anymore. So it got that way from the administration, who benefited off those people existing, even if they didn't explicitly endorse it. And then it got that way from social media companies, who just refused to take it seriously. You know, that insurrection that happened on January 6th, people kept saying that this was going to happen. They kept posting on 8chan and 8con and on Facebook and on Instagram that they were going to storm the Capitol. And social media companies did not take it remotely seriously. Authorities didn't either. Now they realize this isn't all talk. You know, even if 98% of the time they don't, 2% of the time they do, and it's deadly and it's very serious.
And now that Trump is gone, the conspiracy theories are still there. Ben Collins covers disinformation, extremism, and the internet for NBC News. We'll link you to his reporting at hereandnow.org. Ben, thank you.
Thank you.